Is there a hope for peace? If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, from heaven I will hear them. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Is that promise relevant today? If it is it relevant for our nation? Without a shadow of doubt, I say yes, it is relevant. And if you agree with me, join me in this prayer. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are broken. Our nation is bleeding. We are hurt by what is happening in our nation and in the world. Instead of blaming others, we come back to you this morning, confessing. Forgive us, O Lord. Heal our nation, heal our land, O Lord. Forgive us for things that we would have done, we should have done, but we didn't do. And then we let this happen. Forgive us for the things that we did that contribute to what is going on right now in our land and in the world. God of peace, God of love, God of justice, we come before you asking for your mercy. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us how to handle our divisions. Teach us how to handle our differences. Teach us how to be your people. And make us be light in this world, because wherever there is light, there is no darkness. What is happening right now is darkness. Where else shall we go? We come to you, Lord. You who are light, you will give life. Give life. Give peace. Give joy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand? Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus. Let us now share Christ's peace, the peace that the UN cannot provide. Only Christ can. Let us share that peace with one another, saying, peace of Christ be with you, and this morning,
and also with you.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Aramaeans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send a long letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to keep the curl between me with me."
Segunda de Reyes 5:1-14. Cierto general del ejército del rey de Siria, llamado Naamán, era un hombre muy importante. Su señor lo tenía en alto estima porque, por medio de él, que era guerrero, muy valiente del señor, había dado la victoria de Siria. Pero Naamán era lechoso. Un día una joven israelita de la banda de Siria había hecho cautivo y lo habían puesto al servicio de la esposa de Naamán, le dijo a su señor: "Si señor acudiera al profeta que está en Samaria, él lo sanaría de su lepra." Cuando Naamán fue a ver al rey de Siria, le contó lo que la joven israelita le había dicho a su esposa. Y el rey le dijo: "Pues ve a ver a ese profeta. Yo le enviaré cartas al rey de Israel." Naamán se puso en marcha, llevando consigo 30,000 monedas de plata, 6,000 monedas de oro y 10 mudas vestidos. También llevó contigo cartas para el rey de Israel, lo cual decía: "Cuando esta carta llegue a tus manos, por ella sabrás que yo estoy enviando a mi siervo Naamán para que lo sanes de su lepra." En cuanto el rey de Israel leyó la carta, se rasgó los vestidos y dijo: "¿Acaso soy Dios capaz de dar la vida y quitarla, para que este me envíe un hombre para que lo sane de su lepra? ¿Cómo puedo ver esto? Está buscando un pretexto para atacar."
But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king: "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I feel that for me you will surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would have his hand over his heart and cure the leprosy. Are not the banner and Papa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean. So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean.
47 años de Dios se enteró de que el rey de Israel se había rasgado las vestiduras, mas no a decirle, ¿por qué te has rasgado las vestiduras? Deja que venga a verme. Así sabrá que en Israel hay profeta. Y Naamán fue a ver a Eliseo, y al llegar a la puerta de su casa se detuvo con sus caballos y sus carros de guerra. Entonces Eliseo mandó a un mensajero para que le dijera, ve y lávate 7 veces en el Jordán, y tu carne volverá a ser como antes era, y quedará limpia de tu lepra. Pero Naamán se enojó, y se fue mientras decía, ¿cómo? Yo pensaba que ese profeta saldría a verme, y que de pie invocaría al nombre del Señor su Dios, y luego alzaría las manos y tocaría la parte enferma, y me sanaría de la lepra. ¿Acaso los ríos Abaja por par de la baja no son mejores que todas las aguas de Israel? ¿Acaso no quedaré también limpio si me lavo de ellas? Y muy enojado se fue de allí, pero sus criados se le acercaron y le dijeron, ay Señor, si el profeta te hubiera mandado a hacer algo más impresionante, ¿acaso no lo hubieras hecho? Pues con más razón, si te ha dicho, lávate y quedarás limpio. Naamán fue al Jordán y se santió 7 veces, conforme a la palabra del varón de Dios. Y al instante quedó limpio, su piel se volvió tan suave como la de un niño.
De bueno, pues, ahora,
palabra de
Let's pray. Our pastor this morning, our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson Trevor, our pastor. So let's pray for him. Lord, we come before you this time, asking you to teach us. Talk to your people, O Lord. We are thirsty of your word. We bring before you your instrument, your tool, Pastor Nelson, so that you would anoint him of your anointment, for him to share with us the word that you have sent him to. Be our God in this moment, and let us be your children. In the name of his God, Jesus. Amen.
Send down your waters, send down your waters upon this land. O healing river, send down your waters and wash the blood from off the sand. Before we wash blood off the streets of Dallas and St. Paul and Baton Rouge and Elkhart, we do well to consider who it is who is dying. If you are black or Hispanic in this country, you are much more likely to get pulled over by police while driving. You are more likely to be searched, and you are more likely to be killed. If you are a dedicated and responsible police officer, which most are, you're likely to feel today at risk on the job doing a service that society needs. O healing river, send down your waters. Let's take inspiration today from the story of a Israelite girl who was held captive by a foreign military commander. Second Kings never mentions her name, but like first generation African Americans in this country, she was taken by force from her homeland to serve in captivity in a distant place. This Hebrew girl was held by Naaman, who was commander of the army of Aram. I'll show you the map where this is. Set up a little bit the geography of this story. Here we have the nation of Judah, and you remember that all of this is where the Jews are living at this point. These are Jewish governance right here, and this is after north and south split between Israel, kingdom of Israel in the north, kingdom of Judah in the south. So our story takes place up here, and Elisha is a prophet, following on the heels of Elijah, primarily in Israel, which includes some territory across the Jordan. Mostly goes right up to the Jordan. Then there's the kingdom of Aram, which we would know as Syria today. And Syria, or Aram and Israel, had an ambiguous relationship. At times, they were at war with each other. And what they were fighting for was control of trade routes that went north and south and east and west across this territory. If you controlled the trade routes, you got the taxes. So there would be wars between Aram and Israel. But then the Assyrian Empire would insinuate itself. And this is what the Assyrian Empire looks like. This right here is what we've just seen on the map. You see how big Assyria is. So when the Assyrian Empire was threatened, then these two peoples here would make alliance. Now, Naaman is commander of the troops of the king of Aram, based in Damascus. Elisha is a prophet, often over against the kings of Israel, but he would have been based primarily in Samaria. This is the geography, and the story of Naaman washing in the Jordan River is going to happen right in this area here. This was considered Israelite waters, and Naaman doesn't want to wash in those. We'll see in a minute. There was no love lost between these two peoples. Sometimes they had to work together, but Israelites worshipped one God. The Arameans worshipped many gods. The Israelites were God's chosen people. The Arameans were not in the eyes of the Jews. Arameans viewed Israelites and the land of Israel with contempt, and I suspect it went both ways. This is a story about racism. Jim Wallace, who's a Christian activist and author recently, wrote a book called America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. His premise is that racism, devaluing or exploiting people of another race, racism is a deeply rooted sin in American culture. Racism allowed Europeans to come into this continent and steal the land of native peoples. Racism allowed American colonies and then American states to take millions of Africans from their homes by force, millions, and bring them here to serve in brutal conditions for generations as free labor. And even after the end of slavery with the American Civil War, racism allowed Americans to exploit minority peoples through segregated schools and segregated housing and segregated churches, even as minority peoples harvested our crops and worked in our factories at low wages. A 3-year study was just released this week by coincidence And from that, we learn, in fact, the statistics of the fact that police are much more likely to use force when arresting a black person than when arresting a white person. The United States incarcerates a higher percentage of its own people than any other nation on earth. We have more American people in jail, in prison, than North Korea or whatever nation we would think we might be a bad one. And blacks and Hispanics are disproportionately put in prison for the same offenses that whites would either be in for a short time or not put in prison. Racism kills. And this week, it caused policemen to kill black men who apparently did no wrong in Louisiana and Minnesota. Racism caused a black man to kill 5 white policemen in Dallas. O healing river, send down your waters and wash the blood from off this land. Somehow, a young Hebrew girl got beyond racism to make or to have compassion even on her slave owner who had leprosy. Leprosy was a feared and despised disease in the ancient world, often causing people to be ostracized from society. But this Hebrew girl, this teenager, knew that her God could heal, that there was a prophet in her homeland who had the power of God to help Naaman, who was her oppressor. Never underestimate the ability of a simple testimony to the power of God to change the course of history. Consider what happens in this case. A teenage girl talks to her mistress and says, there's somebody you can heal. Mistress talks to her husband, Naaman. Naaman talks to the king of Aram. The king of Aram writes a letter to the king of Israel, and word gets through to Elisha, and there is an international reconciliation that happens because of the testimony of a teenage girl. Racism lowers trust. And we see this in today's story. We see how low the level of trust had become between Israelite king and Aramaic king. Here's what goes through the mind of the king of Israel when he gets a letter from the king of Aram asking for a healing for Naaman. He says, who does this king of Aram think I am? Does he think I'm God that I can cure leprosy? He's just trying to pick a fight. This is a trick to start another war. The officer who shot the black man sitting in his car in St. Paul this week did not trust that the victim was simply reaching for his wallet and not for a gun. And various black persons this week, again in the press or in our conversations, have recounted that they do not trust when they get stopped by a white policeman that they are safe, even if they do everything the officer says. It's not hard to see why that prejudice is there, because of bitter experience. Racism, especially when it's accompanied by violence, instills fear. It makes us question the intentions of others. It leads to bad choices. Elisha hears that the king of Israel is worried about this letter for healing. So he sends word that Naaman shall come to him, that is to the prophet. And soon Naaman is at Elisha's front door in his chariots and with his horses. Now Naaman was a man of privilege, and he expected to be treated like somebody special. Events this week have reminded me that I live with the benefit of being a white male in this culture. White kids in this country commonly hear from our parents, if you ever get lost, look for a policeman. Policemen are our friends, and they will help you find mom and dad. It's my impression that not many Hispanic and black parents say that to their kids. And that's because of their experience. They are more likely to say, if you're lost and you see a policeman, just get out of his way. You know, just find some other way home, but don't go there. A year ago, at the President's Task Force on Policing, as they were taking testimony, a young black man at Phoenix named Michael Reynolds told this story about an experience during his freshman year in high school. He said, as I walked down the hall, one of the police officers employed in the school noticed that I did not have my identification badge with me. Before I could explain why I did not have the badge, I was escorted to the office and suspended for a week. I had to leave the school immediately. Walking to the bus stop, a different police officer pulled me over and demanded to know why I was not in school. As I tried to explain, I was thrown into the back of the police car. They drove me back to school to see if I was telling the truth, and I was left waiting in the car for 2 hours. When they came back, they told me that I was, in fact, suspended, but because the school did not provide me with the proper forms, my guardian and I both had to pay tickets for me being off school property. The tickets together came to $600, and I had a court date for each one. Because I have privilege as a white male, I have never experienced anything remotely like that in this society. Now, I would add that I credit the police department of Elkhart for being in the neighborhood and working at relationships across racial lines. I believe our police are working on that, and it's a big challenge. And we need to do our part to help that communication. Naaman, commander of the army of Aram, was used to privilege. He expected personalized and courteous service from Elisha. He thought the prophet should come out of his house, wave his arms over Naaman, make a big ceremony out of the healing for this great commander. But it didn't happen. Elisha simply sent a servant, one of his servants out, with a message saying, go to the Jordan River as you're on your way back from Samaria. You've got to cross the Jordan. When you get to the Jordan, just stop there and bathe 7 times. So times to be healed, we have to humble ourselves and go wash in Jordan. It was humiliating enough for Naaman to venture into Israel to ask some foreign prophet to heal him. But this was too far. To have a simple servant of the healer pass on a post of notes saying, just go take a good bath. And not even in the fine waters of Aram in Damascus, but in these Israelite waters. When I learned in January that I have coronary artery disease, staff at the hospital said, you can do something about this. And I believe God wanted me, and certainly the doctors wanted me, to participate in my own healing. Go wash in the Jordan for me meant humbling myself to join a therapy group for 9 weeks, become vegetarian, lose 20 pounds, discipline myself to exercise, cut fat from my diet, and pay attention to stress management. Go wash in the Jordan will mean different things for each of us, and I'm not recommending my prescription. For Sometimes it might mean joining Alcoholics Anonymous or owning up to other addictions. It might mean talking with a counselor or pastor about sin in our lives or sin done to us by others. It might involve changing diet. It might, going to the Jordan might mean making room for Sabbath and rest in our very busy schedules. It might mean giving away our possessions and giving away more money so that we're not so attached to our stuff. Always, always, it means confessing Christ as Lord. Christ is Lord of our lives, so we don't make ourselves God, make ourselves center of the universe. In Philippians 2, Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation. Wow, we participate. We have too much spiritualized salvation. We often take it in this society to mean a ticket to heaven. For the moment, just forget that. What does salvation mean now? What does it mean to be saved? And the word, in essence, means deliverance. It means healing. It means health. Salvation, sozo, the Greek verb, is a holistic word. It doesn't mean a ticket to heaven. It means healing and health and freedom from affliction, freedom from danger. Knowing Jesus, conversion is about our health, our physical, spiritual, mental, emotional health. Work out your own salvation, because God cares about our bodies, our relationships, about our environment. We immerse our whole being into God's healing. All you have to do, Commander Naaman, is go bathe in that water. Just take the step. It's not that hard to do. Naaman immersed himself 7 times, and he was healed. Skin was like that. Oh boy. He was clean. On Friday, as news was breaking about the assassination of policemen in Dallas, I was with an early morning meeting with Christian men, a group of Christian men who are in leadership, who gather monthly to talk about our faith. We were looking for hope in a situation that is bad. Dr. James Gingrich of Maple City Health Center spoke up. He said, maybe the most important thing that most of us can do about racism is to work on a local level to build bridges. He told about a pregnant mother's group at Maple City Health Center, which brings together black, white, Latino, Asian women to prepare for childbirth and to learn best child care practices. And after they, or along with the medical things they discuss, these women talk about their dreams for the Goshen community and for the world their kids will grow up in. James said, we always have everything that is said translated. Every comment is translated back and forth. But time and again, he said, we see women of multiple races and backgrounds come to love and trust each other, to think together about a healthy future for their children and for the community. This gives me hope, he said. In his book, America's Original Sin, Jim Wallace says this: the most important immigration talk I've given was to my son's 5th grade elementary school class in 2013. They were studying the subject of immigration and invited me to speak about it. First, we went through the long history of immigration in this country. All the children in my son's class learned that they are part of a national history of people who have chosen to come to America or were forced to come by the chains of slavery. Then I told the students about our current problem of 11 million undocumented people living in uncertainty and fear for years and even decades, being unable to safely obtain medical care and police protection, being exploited without protection by unscrupulous employers, and most painfully, being separated from family members, with fathers and mothers torn away from their children. Hard-working and law-abiding people are deported every day. At that time, about 1,100 per day. Looking very surprised, these students asked the obvious question, why don't we fix that? Why doesn't Congress change the system? They say they are afraid, I answered. The students look even more confused and ask, what are they afraid of? I paused to consider their honest question and looked around the room, the classroom of a public school fifth grade class in Washington, D.C. I looked at their quizzical and concerned faces, a group of African American, Latino, Asian American, Native American, European children. Then it hit me. They are afraid of you. Why would they be afraid of us? The shocked students asked, totally perplexed. They are afraid that you are the future of America. They're afraid that their country someday will look like this class, that you represent what our nation is becoming. This multiracial and multinational group of 11-year-old children looked more confused than ever. They are afraid this won't work. Does it work? The children looked at one another and then responded with many voices, yeah, sure, of course it works. It works great. It's really cool. Together we decided that our job was to show the rest of the country that this new America coming into being is, in fact, really cool. Let's bathe in the waters. Let's plunge ourselves into the future that God has for us and for our world. Amen. Thank you.
Purple, number 92. Sing with all the saints in glory. We will sing verses 1 and 2.